towns are the scene of repeated revolts and civil unrest. There are many reasons for the uprisings. In the Hanseatic towns dominated by merchants, for instance, it's increasingly the tradespeople demanding a say in how the town is run. Higher taxes and levies ordered by the council also lead to violent protests. In his book of uprisings, Hermann Borter, a customs official from Braunschweig, describes one such event in 1513. The city council had doubled the amount of wealth tax that all residents had to pay, provoking bloody riots.
In the year of our Lord 1512, on the feast of St. Lucia, the council and the councillors, guildmasters and officers at the new town hall, agreed that the mill charge in the customs house should be increased and raised. Furthermore, the wealth tax was to be paid twice a year, namely once at midsummer, on the Monday before St. John's Day, and the second time on St. Martin's Day. Oh, you cursed tax, mixed with old hatred! When it came towards midsummer, and the first wealth tax day approached, in the year of our Lord 1513, when the village mayors summoned the peasants to be enrolled in the wealth tax register and to swear the wealth tax oath, the citizens made clear their great reluctance and began to utter threatening words.
As a civil servant, Borter himself is the target of these protests. Just like one of Braunschweig's representatives at the Hansetag in 1518, its mayor, Hermann Horneborch. Horneborch is a long-distance merchant, trading mostly with Holland and Berlin. He comes from a respected family of merchants and drapers, which has had a seat on the Braunschweig Council for almost 250 years. He and other councillors are just about to swear the wealth tax oath in 1513 when the rioters storm the town hall.
And the people gathered on Saturday, Sunday, and on Sunday night, and they were drunk and drinking so that they were out of their senses. And when the hapless rabble were incited to start rioting, the ringleaders joined them and egged them on maliciously. And these ringleaders were all day labourers, and among the rabble were the poorest members of many guilds. And they rang the bells in St. Catherine's Church. And on Monday, when the bells struck 11, they came together in a mob and ran to the town hall in great tumult. Inside were some of the councillors, those who were to swear the wealth tax oath. One of the councillors, Hennisch Grünhagen, came down to the loading post where they were standing and wanted to remonstrate with them. But they would not be censured and smashed in his head and left him dead. Then the town hall was closed before them, and the carpenters began hewing against it with their axes and staved in the doors and caused terrible damage to the town hall, so that the gentlemen had to flee through the back door to the draper's hall. And they struck the mayor, Heinrich Ehlers, on the shoulders, causing him great wounds, and left him for dead. But in fact, he survived and later recovered. And two mayors fled to the old town, namely Hennisch Kalmes and Hermann Horneborch.
Although the tax increase is the catalyst for the uprising, the councillor's pledge to reduce the levy again does not bring the conflict to an end. One group of tradesmen wants to exploit the rebellion to seize power itself. The conspiracy is discovered, however. The rebels are arrested and some of them executed.
There they admitted the whole conspiracy they had planned and how they had wanted to put themselves in the places held by their victims, in the houses of the rich men, and how they had wanted to become mayors and elect a new council, and that there should not have been one mayor, but 10, namely, a brewer and a fisherman in the old town, Rekeling himself and a brewer in Hagen, and a wheelwright and a woolen weaver from Nickelnkulk in the new town, and two brewers in Altenwijk, a baker and a glovemaker in Sack.
Finally, in 1514, the citizens reach an agreement on a new tax code with the 12 guilds of the city. The tax burden is divided more equitably, and 10 people from different trades are appointed,
who by giving their advice should help the city to recover from the terrible damage.
Hermann Borter does write about the social wrongs of the time in his book, but his intention is not to alleviate them. His aim is rather to maintain the class system in the Hanseatic towns in order to prevent them from falling into the hands of the princes. He considers the protests of lower social classes as less of a threat to the towns than disputes and rivalries within the urban elite itself. In the prologue to his book, he therefore admonishes the ruling council families.
It is surprising and a sign of great thoughtlessness that the genteel people in the great, powerful cities, who have been given liberties and privileges by the princes, do not realize that much evil arises in the cities as a result of disdain and negligence. If the common good was seriously respected and the gentry of the cities loved one another, then I believe God would certainly not allow discord to arise between them. But selfishness and envy are rife among the urban council families, causing party disputes among them, and such a deep-rooted secret hatred that after years, over 10, 20, or 30 years, conflicts ensue, and this often brings the towns under the control of the princes.
Source: Hermann Borte, two chapters from the Book of Uprisings. Selected, translated into modern German, and presented by Herbert Blume. Braunschweig, 1985.